We talk about security and cybersecurity on this show, but I wanted to think about physical security. So I talked to somebody who's in charge of a security organization, how they deploy it, how they protect clients, and the way they think about the dynamics of security. Jameen Motan joins me, who's the CEO of Skylar Security. They've got a unique approach, and they protected some assets you've heard about on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, Jameen, thanks for joining me. I'm super excited to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, I had to start. We were talking a little bit before we dove in, and I said, you have what feels like one of those cool jobs, right? Like, where it's actually, there's an element of, you know, it's the kind of stuff that sometimes gets portrayed in movies and TV. Tell me a little bit about your journey and how you founded Skylar Security.
So, you know, what's so crazy is that when I was in high school, you know, people call what I do sexy. It's so interesting. It's like I wore a bulletproof vest to work. I didn't see anything sexy about that. But I understood what they were, you know, in the movies, there's this whole portrayal. But when I was in high school, you would consider me the bully's bully, right? I was louder. I was bigger. I'm literally sitting here 300 whole pounds. When I was in high school, I was probably a little under 200. So I was always bigger, leading my community. I was the one that sat in the lunchroom with that person that did not have a voice. And so I always found myself in that little groove. And so, you know, there's that survey you take in high school that says, this is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. Mine was an attorney or a judge or a law enforcement. And so I think at an early age, I knew that my heart was in protection. So I started a business where I was it was an all-female security guard team where we did executive protection for female executives. And it was there that I knew that I could use my talent for good. And so I started studying and I researched the business and researched the industry. And I just had this passion for crimes against children. So I picked a local law enforcement agency to work for. And it was there that I realized that security is an emotion, right? And everybody deserves to be safe. And so I did not feel that I could be incredibly productive with that in the police officer space. So I said, you know what? I'm an entrepreneur. There's no way around it. I'm going to start my business and try and change the public and private law enforcement sectors from the outside. So I started Skylar Security, and I started it with the premise that security is an emotion. And so everything that we do is an emotion. So the way that we show up for our clients is very different from how a traditional security company shows up. We're incredibly thoughtful with how we put guard teams together. We don't work with everybody, but the people that we do work with are incredibly focused on not only their customer service experience, but they have an incredible value for how that guard shows up on the front end. And that's where we master, that's where we sit. And I'm just really honored to kind of lead the way in Atlanta with that concept.
Now, knowing that no two engagements are the same, okay, I'm going to start. But I want to get a sense of what an engagement is like. So you're a senior executive and you're looking for security. Talk me through kind of how an engagement works.
So it's interesting you asked that. So when I was a police officer, I was very careful with how I handled people. You have to be careful. Like, you're literally dealing with people at their most troubling time. They're probably not clear in their thought lines. And you have to make a decision whether to arrest or not arrest, or, you know, you have to make decisions on their life that could be life affecting. So from that experience at the police department, I realized that even on the private sector side, you have to do the exact same thing. So a lot of our clients have customers that demand a certain level of experience. So imagine an urgent care, if you will. Imagine an urgent care for a prominent hospital in the local Atlanta area. They hire Skylar to come in and to protect their front end. Think COVID, So you're asking these people to put on masks. Their babies are snotting. They're crying. And the mom is frustrated because there's five more walking behind her and she's literally at her wit's end. So the first person that that mom is going to encounter is the security guard. So imagine if that security guard showed up with an attitude, or they were just having a bad day, uniform off brand, leaning back on their chair with a hamburger in their mouth. That doesn't work because the customer and the client wants support. So we studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like super deep for a security company, right? But it's what we did. Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that everybody wants one thing. It's love and belonging. So when that guard shows up, they love, they support, and they de-stress that mom. So it's very common for that guard to go to the little baby and say, hey, everything's going to be okay. So you de-escalate the situation so that there isn't, and that person doesn't get upset. Why? Because with COVID, there's a 5-hour wait for her to be seen. So we believe in preceding the need. A lot of our issues do not escalate to physical altercation. And it's because the guards are trained on de-escalation. So they hear the baby crying. They see the mom about to go off because she's at her wit's end. And then they also understand that just on the other side of this table, she's got a 5-hour wait. So that guard is going to do everything that they can to make sure that that front end concierge experience is perfect. And so there's this mastery of the soft skill so that it never gets to the point where we have to call the police. Now, we do have those moments where it is outside of our control, but it is minimal. Those incidences are not every day because we believe in preceding the need. And it's amazing how our clients accept it. And they say because of that, they prefer our front-end concierge security guards to police officers. And when I heard that, I could have turned the leaf over and closed the business. And that, to me, warmed my heart because that is what I believe we should do in protecting our communities.
Now, it's super. One of the reasons I want to talk to you is because I like understanding industries that I feel are super complementary and connected to what we do in technology services, because the better we are at understanding those we connect with, the better job we do. Yeah. And the reason I was thinking about this a lot is I wanted to understand, like, how much is the skill set around situational awareness and managing communications, and how much is it like physical security? Like, kind of walk me through the top skills that your team has.
Yes. So there's tenets that we teach in our orientation. And one of them, is I believe a marry to what you do. But there's this attentiveness that you have to be attentive. You have to be perceptive. You have to think about things differently. So when that homeless person is walking onto the property, you have to be reactive. Not aggressive, but you have to be reactive. You're not just going to let that person just do whatever they want to do while the security guard, while you're sitting there. So there's this, also they have incredibly high emotional intelligence. So while they understand you're upset, you being upset doesn't make me upset, right? Like, I understand that I have to ground you. So I say, if you're on 10, I'm on 5. If you're on 8, I'm on 4. I can be at 1 and you can be at 5 because I'm still grounded in myself and I know how to manage the situation. So there's also this team element that we all have to work together as a team. So if you're not used to working with people, because at the end of the day, right? Like, we, even in the police world, law enforcement, we wear a vest to work, and we have to understand that my actions affect you and your actions affect me, and it could cost me my life. So there's a lot on the line here. But it also means that we can't hire everybody. We don't hire everybody, and the people that we do hire have all of those skills. Preceding the need is the biggest one. So making sure that, like what we were talking about, even the email, we do asset protection. So if an email comes in to the SkylarSecurity.com and it's telling us about an incident that's occurring on the other side of the building, and it seems really suspicious, we're not going to respond. You know, we're going to figure out a way. Maybe it's fishy. Maybe it's something that an intruder that's trying to get in, that's coming in through the email. So we have to have this certain awareness of technology and understanding how our customer could potentially attack us. And it could come in through an email or it could come in through the front door. Either way, we have to be aware of what that is.
It's funny you call it that. It could be fishy. There's a reason we call those attacks phishing attacks because of exactly that.
Yes.
I want you to help me understand a little bit, because it's not just physical protection. It's asset protection. Like, and nothing is ever a clearly defined line, right? The edges are always kind of murky. Like, talk to me about like the physical and cyber lines and how you view that from a responsibility definition.
There's two particular clients that I think about when I think about, you know, fish, you know, the cybersecurity attacks that could potentially come in. We did the Super Bowl, and that was the first time that I realized not only how serious attacks are on that level. I mean, we're talking 70, 80,000 people, and that's just in the stadium, not even talking about around the outside. And so we had a lot of briefings, a lot of meetings about just how attacks come in. And so, of course, the physical component, that's without saying. But there's this other side that we as physical security experts have to understand, that there's this other side that is actually, I don't want to say more vulnerable than the physical, but because if you're not aware, it looks like an email, it looks like an invoice, but it's really someone on the other side trying to get in. And so after doing the Super Bowl in Atlanta and then also in Miami, I realized that it would behoove all of us on the physical security space to have this really, really clear awareness on how things come in. Also, we do construction sites, but not just any construction sites. Like, these construction sites, if an intruder comes in on the outside, yes, they can take pipes. Yes, they can take the machinery. Of course, yeah, that's without saying. We know that. But once these buildings get built up and they start bringing in the televisions, the computers, the systems, now that guard is not just posting up on the outside at the gate, but they're looking at their emails, they're looking at the phone calls that come in, and everything, especially in today's time, it may look like it's what you think it is, but it could be something totally different. So it makes that security guard have to be extremely savvy with not only the physical space, but also that cybersecurity space. It is what it is. It is the time period that we're in. And I say that $10 security guard and that t-shirt security guard, may they be no more because of the responsibility on both sides, the physical security and also the cybersecurity. It's essential.
So oftentimes when we talk about it in the cyber realm, we know that we can make things more secure by making them inconvenient and harder to do, right? Like the more steps you have to go through, the more verifications, that slows it down. I would imagine in physical, there's elements of this too. You can have more gates, more pass-throughs, more detectors, but you've made it harder. How do you balance, and what's your framing for thinking about convenience versus security and safety?
You know, I'm about to start laughing right now. It's just, I'm smiling because you got it. It's so interesting how we are the same type of service, just on either side. You don't want to, for the physical side, you don't want to make it too inconvenient because people are going to get frustrated. And so what I tell my team, and you know, think Super Bowl. So you have this huge edifice of people coming to Disney World. They say it is a Disney experience. And so my team was literally writing wraps because we did not want the people to feel inconvenienced. And so with the guard teams, because we are the front end experience, we know you got the shakedown, the pat down, you have the wanding, you have the eye checking, the pocket checks. So there's a certain way that you have to do it. And I know it sounds really simple, but how you do it, not invading these people's personal space, but letting them know that we're doing this to keep you safe. And so if they feel safe, and they feel secure, then they trust you. Once they trust you on the physical side, you could do almost anything and they're going to trust that it's in their best interest. However, when you're putting together a logistical plan, you don't want to be too inconvenient, but at the same time, you want to do what it takes to protect that process. But the thing with us is that we are people and we can smile and we can make them feel safe. Unfortunately, on your side of things, it's not so soft skill. But we can do things human to human that helps that situation. And they really do appreciate it. They really do appreciate it when you do it. They'd say thank you and that they appreciate it, and they know you're only doing it to keep them safe. Unfortunately, Dave, you don't have that.
We don't have it quite as easy in that.
We don't have it quite as easy.
I want to ask you, because there is some interesting tech in your business. Tell me a little bit about what you've been doing with the Skylar app and what you're doing on a technology side.
Yeah. So Skylar Security is what I call, it's the Atlanta Security Guard boutique. So before I launched Skylar Security, I studied it. When I studied it, I realized that there are three major entities: the agency, the guard, and the client. All three of them were frustrated. Nobody wanted to work with them. Nobody wanted to work. Clients didn't want to work with the agencies. Agencies didn't want to work with the guard. And so what I did, I listened to all three and I built Skylar. In building Skylar and listening to all three of them, I realized that there was something that was missing. The infrastructure solution that is customized to that three-way experience. So it's not just for the agency, it's not just for the guard, it's not just for the client. It is intentionality around those three. And we listened and we built it, but we use it. So we're going to, in about a month, we're going to allow security agencies to come in. But imagine a group of security agencies that are as particular as we are with Atlanta. Imagine that all over the world. So we're building that tool that's going to enable all of that. And so we're starting with Skylar Security. So we've been in it for the last 6 or 7 months. It's been going well. In the next little bit, we're going to launch it out to the nation, really.
Wow, super interesting. Now, to sort of wrap things up, I want to help our listeners who may not be as quite as familiar. Like, what's the number one thing people don't think about when it comes to your space that you wish they knew?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. The one thing that I wish people knew is that security guards are more prominent in our major cities than law enforcement. When I researched it, I realized that there's more security guards in Atlanta than there are police officers. And so with that, security guards should be respected and they should be honored as protectors of the community. It is my job, though, to make sure that the quality of those security guards is lifted so that the respect from the community can be lifted as well. That we are all together in the fight of keeping our community safe. From cybersecurity to physical security, to police officers, to security guards, to the HOA, to that community, to the government sectors, to the Class A building downtown, to the restaurant. We all have to own our lane in protecting our communities. If we do that, then we will be a safer community. And not just, like I said, on the physical side, but also on the cybersecurity side. I wish there was a better awareness of what that security guard does, but I also know that it's our job to lead the way in making people have some respect for what we do. My clients run to me. We're on the waiting list. They run to us because there isn't that quality of standard out there. Well, we want to duplicate ourselves all over the world in the U.S. That's what we're doing with the tech. But also we understand once that happens, then that expectation from the community will rise as well.
Well, Jermaine, this has been fascinating to learn as we talk about on our side, on the technology side. Once physical access is gained, the game is over. So it's important for us to understand what happens over on the physical side. So I really appreciate you joining me and having this conversation with me.
No, this was fun. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Are you and your clients tired of the time-consuming ticket tennis of coordinating meetings and help desk calls? Wouldn't it be better to automate this process with a tool that connects directly to ConnectWise Manage or Autotask? TimeZest offers scheduling automation that gives you complete control of your schedule and eliminates the hassle of calendar ping pong. As the only service designed specifically for MSPs, it integrates into your workflow and makes scheduling appointments easy on you and your clients. Plus, you can try TimeZest for free. Visit timezest.com/MSP radio and use the code MSP radio to get 10% off your first year of TimeZest. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP radio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.